What is going on? You are listening to Tags Podcast, aka Talk About Gay Sex Podcast. I am your host, Stevie. This is episode 449, celebrating 6 years of sex positivity alongside my co-host, Jeremy Ross Lopez. How you doing, Jeremy?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Joining us, of course, as always, is Cody Maurice Doggett. How the hell you doing, Cody?
Hello, darling. I'm doing wonderful. The sun is shining. I'm living my best life, darling.
Well, it is the first day of spring when we record this on March 20th. As we all know, it drops the next day, the 21st. But happy spring, everybody.
Happy spring.
Yeah, I'm really excited, especially here in the East, really around the country. Weather's so, like, all over the place. It's just, I am so ready for spring weather. I started spring cleaning yesterday after I went out dancing on Saturday night to the New York Eagle. And I, as you all know, I've been away for a minute. And it was just so fun. I went with my neighbor to be shirtless on the dance floor, living a New York best life. I had so much fun. Yeah. So
not like coming home, I bet.
It did. It's always, I love travel so much, and I'm going to continue the journey, of course, the rest of this year. But to be able to just kind of be back, I always love coming back to New York because there's always so much going on, so much stimuli, so many men.
Oh, yeah. A little time.
So many men to have, I know. I'll tell you a little bit more about my men's situation. As we love to give advice or get advice, this week, advice comes from you two giving me advice on where I'm at with a former guy or a guy. So we'll get to that in a minute. But before we get into it, we do love to talk about music and some of our music icons on this show. I'm not the hugest fan of this next artist, but Taylor Swift just launched her huge tour in Swift City, Arizona. I think they actually renamed the city after her. And she performed 44 songs in 3.5 hours. And I was thinking, oh my God. Even like Madonna, Janet, okay, my favorites. I'm thinking, that's a long time to be. And they said all she did was a couple like costume changes. It wasn't like she left it up for her background dancers or anything. I mean, are either one of you, Jeremy, are you a Swiftie? Or what do you call them?
No, not at all.
I'm not. But even with your favorite Jennifer Lopez, or I mean, is this like a long concert? I mean, it's just seems
I would
so
have
long.
Been exhausted, especially if I'm like standing up the entire time and dancing to it or like singing along. I would definitely have no voice after. And we've seen Janet, and like I lose my voice at that. And I don't even know if that's like 50 minutes long.
I think she puts on a good 90-minute plus show at least, and she certainly has all the hits to do it. Madonna going on this huge tour celebrating 40 years of music. I don't think she's going to do 3.5 hours, but Cody, I mean, first of all, are you a Swiftie, and what do you think of this 3.5 hour concert? I knew the answer. I just had to put it out there because some of our listeners love her.
You're right. I was actually, I'm not a Swiftie, darling. However, I could see her appeal. I didn't know she had that many hits, though. 3.5 hours? Who could sing that long? I guess you can because she don't really be singing. Okay.
Well, she's been re-recording some of reclaiming her old songs because the label owned them or management. Now she wants to own them on her own. So I kept thinking, well, maybe she's singing both versions of them. I mean, I don't know.
One after the other? Oh my God. Yeah. That would be smart. Oh my goodness. Well,
apparently fans loved it. It just seems wow. And she's just embarking on this tour.
It seems like a really cool show, like the theatrics of it, but
the visuals,
it doesn't make me a fan still.
Especially for 3.5 hours. I mean, that's just too long. Like, movies
and they
to
named
me
a city after her? I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but they named a city, you said, after her? What is that all about?
Girl. I think they just kind of changed where she's from, the city, and it's called, it's kind of close to her name, and so that's why they changed it. We could be getting all this, that part of it I could be getting wrong, but somehow it's called Swift City now, and it used to be called something like that. And I think that's why she decided to open there. That's what I do know.
Okay.
I don't want to get all the Swifty hate mail coming our way.
It's true, because her fans are very, very passionate about her. So
yes,
we don't want any hate mail, y'all.
Not on that. Let's get into what we do know about, and let's get into some medical news that benefits us in many ways. Actually, kind of cool. So researchers have been testing this quick dissolving rectal PrEP for HIV, as well as actually for the vagina too. And it's interesting, Cody, because I think we were talking about this recently where people were asking about, is PrEP good for women and can they take it? And the research wasn't out there. But for our trans men, I think this is really hopeful, as it's PrEP has benefited the fight against HIV, as we all know. It's gone from pill form. Then we've gone through injectable PrEP, which I want to look into that one. Well, now it's coming towards where you would put it in the rectum or the vagina. And according to the experiment, the rectal pill contains 20 milligrams of tenofovir, like Descovy, and 16 milligrams of elevitravir. I'm sure I butchered that up. when they tested it on non-human primates, the insert provided protection from the infection when used in the vagina and the rectum. And they presented the findings to in a conference recently. 23 HIV negative participants at the University of Pittsburgh and Alabama were chosen, six of whom were assigned female at birth. Each volunteer received a single dose of the insert in the clinic and blood, and the rectal fluid and rectal tissue were collected. They repeated the process 7 weeks later, and the test showed positive results, but indicated that two inserts are more likely to provide better protection than one. So this is great. I just love that we're getting more and more ways to prevent HIV. And I just think for the longest time, women or people that were born female at birth weren't taken into consideration. So this is really promising. I'm really excited about these. Of course, it's still in trial, so we'll continue to tell you about that. Jeremy, I think I asked you this before, but would you consider the injectable PrEP that would be every other month?
Yeah, I would.
I am too, just maybe to not have to take that daily pill. And so I'm going to ask my doctor. Hopefully insurance will cover that. So we'll see on that. In other medical news, this is a little alarming. When the Human Rights Campaign showed some data that showed racial disparities in MPOX treatment. The Human Rights Campaign Foundation did a report called Inequity in the U.S. MPOX Response, Trends and Disparities in National Data. And the report analyzed data for the MPOX vaccine and treatment between May 2022 to the end of January of this year. And it showed that Black and African-American people have increasingly and disproportionately represented larger shares of new cases. But despite this, they have also received the fewest percentage of vaccinations. Black people accounted for 1/3 of all new MPOX cases weekly at the height of the epidemic, but they only made up 1/10 of those fully vaccinated against it. Conversely, Hispanic and Latinx people made up only 1/5 of all people who received at least one vaccination, despite accounting for 1/4 of new cases each week. So the story goes on. I can post this on tagspodcast.com, but Cody, does this surprise you? And what's your thoughts on why Black people did not get it? Is it a lack of education to the community, you think?
Probably a mixture of a couple of things. I believe that when trying to get the word out about MPOX to the Black community, I don't know if there was enough information that was disseminated to the Black community. So that could attribute to it. But also, I feel like, especially even with COVID, that a lot of Black people are wary of getting certain vaccinations because of things that have gone on in the past as far as being tested on, like the Tuskegee Airmen and things of that nature. So I think that it's a lot of different things, but I think that everybody should get vaccinated, no matter creed, color, sexual preference, all those different types of things. I am a strong believer in vaccinations and in stemming the spread of any type of virus or bacteria.
Yeah, it's interesting. At the end of the story, they said much more, we could do better. And you brought up some good points about the community and the history of vaccinations over the years. And maybe it was just more of an education to that particular community on, you know, this really will prevent that. And looking at the differences on what went on in previous vaccinations, really dissecting that before they did a deep dive on disseminating this. Mm-hmm. Jeremy, you had a little bit of trouble. You live outside of Massachusetts, correct? And mm-hmm. I remember you were saying it wasn't like the easiest thing to get at first. Is that correct?
It wasn't, yeah, because it was just, it was new to the doctor that I had. And so I jumped through some hoops to get the prescription, but thankfully it ended up working out.
Yeah. I just remember that major cities, New York got it earlier on, but you know, if you happen to be in a remote part of the country, it wasn't the easiest thing to get. I'm mm-hmm. glad that we are seeing, hopefully, the end of that, because I do not want to relive that again, especially, it seemed like a long time ago, but it was at the beginning of summer, prides were just beginning, at least here, and it was kind of a scary time, so here's to moving on from that. Okay, exactly. Moving on, there's this interesting Reddit thread that has been popping up. QWERTY jumped on it, asking the question, is losing your virginity to a casual hookup ideal? So you can imagine what they were actually asking, essentially, when and if you were have your first losing your virginity, did it need to be with somebody really special? Did it need to be like a hookup and get it, like just get it over with so that you can kind of move on? Or did it need to be with somebody that you sort of knew and spent some time with? Maybe romantic, maybe not. And as you can imagine, the comments were all over the place. It got me thinking, though, of my original when I lost my virginity. I want to hear about yours too. First of all, let's do a round robin of what do you think is a good way to lose your virginity? I'm just going to start. I don't think it needs to be with a romantic situation per se, because chances are sex is so intimate and can be, and I think you might fall in love with that person.
Yeah.
And if you fall in love with that person and they're just kind of having fun with you, you could really lock into something that like isn't good emotionally for you for the long haul. The same is true though, where I don't know that I would want it to be so random. I'll tell you mine in a minute, but Jeremy, what are your thoughts on how do you think someone, if you could paint a picture, write a movie, how they should lose their virginity?
I don't think that it's something that can be super planned. I think because of the, like, it depends on your age and your, like, setting and where you are at. And I feel like it's also one of those occasions where it's organic and it could have been quick. It could have been, like, ended awkwardly. So for me, I feel like it's that specific time. Mm-hmm. is one of those things that's a lot less planned out and is more just like on a whim. So I don't think that it has to be like super romantic. I mean, it's great if it is, and it's great if it turns into something or it was a magical moment, but
we're not living an after school special, right?
Exactly. And it's also not like a fairy tale. It doesn't pan out like a fairy tale would, where everything runs perfectly and you're super clean. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
physically cleaned out properly and in the setting that you'd love. And you know what I mean? I think that it's one of those things that's not that thought out. And I don't necessarily think it has to be super romantic, but it should be sexy. And I mean, that's that's why you lose it in that time frame.
Yeah, I have to agree with you in that I don't know that you could really plan this. It's an interesting concept, though, Cody, to bring up because of the fact that we all, you know, movies are made about losing your virginity, and it's such a big, can be such a memorable part or not for some people. But what are your thoughts just on what's the most ideal way to lose your virginity, Cody?
I would say I agree with both of you. I don't think it's something that should be extremely romantic, because like you said, Steve, I think that when a lot of emotions are involved in losing your virginity, if you're in love with that person, then that attaches you to them even more, and it just comes to a point where it's all consuming, basically. So I think that the optimal experience would be with somebody that you find super, super hot, that you know, and that it can teach you a couple things because it's your first time. And if you can learn something about how to be a good lover from this person, then I think that that would be the best experience in my personal opinion.
That's a good one. I like that. All right, now let's go around and tell our own personal when we lost it. I mean, I feel like, ooh, I have a couple of them, and you can have a couple losing your virginity, but I have the first time I was with a man, and then I have the first time I bottomed. The first time I lost my virginity just to a man in general was when I was at school at UC Berkeley. And there was a guy that knew, I was on the gymnastic team, and there was this guy that he would drive around, he was driving around in this huge car, and he stopped as I was walking along the street to talk to me. And I remember going up to his car like, yeah, what do you want? And he said he knew a lot of guys on the gymnastic team. He knew I was one of them. So it was a little stalker-ish. And I just talked to him briefly. I think I may have even gotten into the car. I know it sounds like a really bad horror film as we keep telling it. But he really did know all of the other gymnasts that were on the team. And he wanted to take me to Pinole. So if you know Berkeley, Pinole's maybe two cities away. And we went to his condo. And I'll never forget, he went upstairs, he wanted to change clothes. And I'm so naive. And I said, okay. And he came back down and he had like a pair of very short shorts and his balls were like hanging out. And it was kind of sexy. Yeah, it was kind of sexy to me. And he was definitely working me a little bit, but sitting across from me, making sure that I saw that. And then he said, oh, do you want to see the rest of my condo? Which was a very basic condo, by the way, in the early 90s with that early 90s decor, which is awful. And so I, of course, said, sure. I mean, it sounds like a bad porn, right? And we went up there and all I could do was he lied down and he touched me and I climbed on top of him naked, and I think I came in like a minute because I was so turned on. And yeah, I was like, I shot my load in 2 seconds, and then I couldn't get off of him fast enough and put my clothes on and said, oh, you have to take me back, you have to take me back. I did see him a few more times after that, so he wasn't the awful. So it wasn't awful, he definitely worked me, but it was a good intro to sex. Jeremy, what can you share with our audience about your first time losing it?
So mine was with a boyfriend, and it was like one of those awkward situations where he like lived with his parents. We were in high school. He was a senior and I was a junior, and I don't know, it wasn't like amazing, but it was, I like popped that cherry. So
oh, wow.
It was fun and it was like new. So I think when it's brand new, it's somewhat nerve-wracking at the same time as it is sexy. And then also just like being in the setting of his parents being like right down the hallway is like promiscuous at the same time. But it was all right. It wasn't like the most amazing, excellent time, but we had a lot of fun.
How did you know that you were going to be the top and he was going to be the bottom?
It was just kind of insinuated because I just grabbed his ass and was like playing with it and stuff like that beforehand, and he just like submitted. So
born a top. I love it. No dispute there. I love it. Okay, Cody, drum roll. I've been waiting for this moment.
And me too, because I'm trying to remember the first time I ever did it.
It's been so long. I know. Recently we were talking about what's our body count.
And so now I can remember that either. One.
Yeah.
I'm the one that's practically a virgin. I don't know if you remember that part, but I'm the one. Out of us,
yeah.
So I played around a lot when I was like a kid with like friends, and they would come over to the house and we would shut the door when I was like 12 or 11 or 13. Does that even count? No, right?
That's kind of initial play, I guess. I don't know if it's losing your virginity. I had a couple of those moments too with the friend. I didn't count those though as losing virginity, but I guess I could have. I'm talking about full, because I masturbated with like a friend when we were adolescents, but that to me wasn't sex, even though it is sex. You know what I mean? Yeah, I know.
All right. I'm just trying to set the parameters here. You know me, I need a nice. So I was in college and I had this friend group. I was the treasurer of the LGBTQ alliance that was there, and we would always hang out. We would always go to the club together, and then one night one of the guys that was in the alliance with me came back to my dorm room and we got to it, and I think I bottomed. I'm trying to remember, but I'm pretty sure that I bottomed for him in that initial instance. I know, right? I was not born a top, apparently. I was transformed by the world into a top. But yeah, and it was okay from what I can remember. I can barely remember his face because when I was trying to think of this, I was trying to think of who exactly it was out of my friend group.
God.
And I could not remember which one it was, but I remember his face now. But it was okay. It was anything too special. It was all right.
I mean, that's the thing about back to the original topic at hand.
I also feel like you're testing out things. So it's sometimes awkward and it's not like as dreamy as you'd love for it to be, or as it could be like the next time or the time after that. But it's like nerve-wracking when you don't really know what you're doing
and
going the full way, and you're just like slipping it in and trying, and then it doesn't fit, or I don't know, just that those kind of things.
And no, for gay men, which the three of us identify as, I do think it can be, there's a lot of factors playing into it. So we're, I don't know, I'm making this up, but maybe girls or women think of it a little bit differently because of what society's put on it. We don't have a lot of background or examples. So a lot of it is, I think that's why some of us were a little stumbled. I mean, Jeremy, you've shared on this show before that when you were super young, you used to play with another boy's butt, right? And you were having those experiences. And I had the same too. Cody described many of his early experiences too. So I think we kind of test the waters in dipping our toes here and there throughout. And then it's like, what is sex? Some of it could just be oral. And then what was your first, when did you lose your virginity for top and bottom? And so it goes through stages, and I don't know that it's always as romantic and as it could be. So
I totally can see what Jeremy was saying, though, because I remember feeling like, am I even doing this right? When I was, that is something that is ingrained in my memory, because I was, I don't know if I'm doing it right the very first time.
Right. And I'm sure you've had many of years.
Supposed to feel too, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. The first time bottoming was not very, it was hot and who it was with for me, but it wasn't. I don't know that I was relaxed enough to enjoy it like I would today. So it takes some, but that's, I think, true experience of early experiences in general. So absolutely. now it just slides in and like <set. Love> it. You know, we love to give advice, and solicited or unsolicited, this week I'm asking you for advice, and it comes from me when I have recently told you about a guy that I met on the naked beach, and we were hanging out. We've gone on 4 or 5 dates, and then I was going to go away on this 3-week journey on different trips that I had planned. I've talked about him on the show. He said, send me pictures, which I did probably early on more than maybe towards the end, because I really only told him that I was going on the first part of the trip because I thought it was going to sound too much. And you know how I have this feeling that when you're away too long from somebody, they lose interest or they're questioning like, why are you gone that long? And so anyways, I think and the other backstory of it is we met on the naked beach and we kind of had this kind of sexual excitement towards each other, but we really only had sex once in the 4 dates that we went out with. We had great times together. And so when I was away, I sent him a picture when I was on the cruise. And then I think I told him I was going to Puerto Vallarta next to help my sister. And he was like, oh, so much. He said in text, so much traveling. That's all he said. And I was like, yeah, I'm helping my sister with her new condo. And of course, I overtalked it like I tend to do and didn't hear anything after that. And then cut to more recently, I commented on a picture of his. Or I think I sent him one more text towards the end of my trip in Vegas, and he never responded. Like, he just didn't respond. And then lastly, I liked something of his on social media, and then he responded back with, you know, thanks, stud. I'm reading it like a quote. Thanks, stud. How's the trip? And I responded and said how the trip was going in Vegas with the podcast conference and everything. And he never responded back to that. So I think I know the answer. Or I think I know where I'm at. One of my friends' girlfriend, who you both know, was like, yeah, I think you should make him a dinner and have him over. And I'm like, really? Or maybe I should just move on because he's not showing that much interest back. What do you think, Jeremy?
I think hell fucking no. No dinner.
Yeah.
Maybe right. Maybe a coffee. If that, if you even still have any interest. If not, then next.
Yeah, and what's your sign because of the unresponsiveness of it all, kind of on his end?
Yeah, I mean, you told him about your trip, and he asked, and then I just hate when people ask that and then just have nothing to say afterwards.
Exactly. I'm not like, yeah, nothing.
It's very. It's like it's rude and open ended, and I don't know. It puts a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, and, you know, I like the guy a lot, Cody, but we've had great times, and, you know, I don't think there would ever be any hard feelings at all, because I think, you know, we still follow each other on social media, and if I saw him out, I would be like, hey, you know, go up to him. But I do think that he has been a little bit harder to read, and especially with, like, the lack there of sex in 4 dates. I mean, the one time we did, it was good, but it just seems kind of a lack of interest and or as much as I would prefer.
Yeah, I hear that. And I'm going to agree with Jeremy, too. I think that, honestly, I think that you should probably reach out to him and see if he does want to hang out again. And then if he doesn't want to hang out again, like for coffee, like Jeremy said, and you know, if he doesn't respond back, then it's a wash because, unfortunately, and it makes me kind of sad because, I don't know, I was looking forward to, I don't know, I got really invested in this relationship already, and I'm not even in the relationship, but I just think that, yeah, it's just sad for me. He doesn't seem to be reciprocating your interest. And that is super important when it comes to being in a relationship.
Yeah.
I think also early on, I mean, because of the fact that it was 4 dates and you met him like organically just at the beach, I think that if it's this poor communication from the beginning, like the early stage, I don't know if it's like set up for the best trajectory after this. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't think he deserves to be cooked dinner either.
Oh, hell
no. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt like the last time, because he wanted to see me before I left for this trip, and I had him over, we agreed to watch a movie, we watched this really great movie, Triangle of Sadness, highly recommended, it was nominated for an Oscar, didn't win, but it's great, and he picked the movie, so he has like great film taste, which is a, you know, usually a tough one for me. But yeah. And I ordered all this food for us, and I know he likes to eat a lot. And this is so minor, but I bought all this food and he never once said, oh, thanks for dinner or thanks for getting all this or any of that. And that kind of like bothered me a little bit. Like, if
I don't think that's so minor. I think like manners is definitely one on my list and I wouldn't like that at all.
Yeah, just kind of like not like I couldn't. I would have said at least, oh my gosh, thank you for getting all this or doing all this.
Yeah.
You know, something like
it's not a hard gesture to say that.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Cody?
Yeah, I said, thank you for having me over. I had a lovely time. Things of that nature. All that stuff works.
Yeah. So I think time to move on. And that's fine because, you know, I'm continuing my travel journey and I'm having a great time. So, but, you know, it's, and like I said, great time. I think I'm going to let him reach out if that ever happens. But, you know, I don't think I'm going to go the extra mile on that. But don't worry, Cody. There'll be somebody else for you to meet down the road. For you to get excited about.
Yes. I know that that's going to happen. Yes. I'm 100% sure about that.
Good. And staying on those lines of finding a husband as opposed to hookups, one Reddit threader wrote, I would like to get married. However, 99.9% of guys my age only want to hook up. And if they don't want to hook up, they aren't willing to try very hard at forming a connection. I honestly feel like I'm the only one who is willing to put forth the effort at an LTR, long-term relationship. I think the biggest problem is the fact that I'm using Grindr as my only way to find people. My question for you is this, what app place exists that I can go to find like-minded guys? I mean, I think there's a lot of places other than Grindr, and I would say get off of Grindr. Although it's so weird, every time we talk about these things, Cody, it's like you met your long-term boyfriend on Grindr. But were you on any other apps? And what was your key on Grindr to meet, not your husband, but your
LTR? Don't get crazy, okay? All right.
I'm crazy.
Yeah, I was, you know what? I was on so many apps. I barely had any time for an actual social life because I was on all the apps. Plenty of Fish, Tinder, Scruff. What is another one? There's the one that I'm missing.
Bumble? I don't know if that's for...
No.
Jacked.
Which one is that, Jeremy?
Jacked.
Jack, I was on Jacked for sure, but there's one that's I can't even remember. It doesn't matter, Scruff, but it was more for relationships, and I think that that's what this person
Match.com.
Match.com, that's the one. It didn't work for me apparently, obviously, because I had to meet my boyfriend on Grindr, and it's all about what you put out there. I think that when you are looking for a relationship, you have to look for people that are like to you, that are in the same mind frame as you are. And I don't know how old this guy is. Maybe he's in his 20s because that's what it sounds like to me personally. But if, you know, he's not finding people out there that are like-minded in their relationships and what they want out of life, then I can see how he's having trouble. He just has to keep looking. Somebody will match up with him eventually.
I mean, I guess it could seem like a lot of people just are only looking to hook up, but not everybody, Jeremy. What are your thoughts and advice for this guy?
So I think it sounds like he might be overthinking it a little bit. And I think that he needs to just put his best foot forward and have an optimistic outlook on just trying to meet people in general, rather than the logistics of it being long-term relationship only. And I also think that another app that is good for dating, or since I've noticed, is Bumble. Just because it seems like the outcome of the people that I've met on there most people aren't looking to just hook up, so that could be an option. But I think I still stand true to that it's better to plan less and just let things happen organically. And I also think when you're meeting people for the first time, it can easily scare people away if you just tell them that you're looking. I usually tell them that my options are open. And I think that sounds a lot better than just stating, I want to get married, or I'm only looking for a long-term relationship. And that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I think keep your options open. Don't just use Grindr. We just listed a ton of them, and don't take it too seriously. I think it can go the other direction. For example, last Wednesday I went to a party, Jockstrap Wednesday, and met this guy, and we had some fun. And then I ran into him on Saturday night, and he said to me, oh my gosh, I was meant to get your number the other night. We had some more fun, and then we got each other's numbers. And then we decided that we want to, you know, definitely get together. He said, here's the line, I'm better in bed. And I thought, oh, okay. But then we started texting beyond just that. We're going to hopefully do that soon. But we started talking about, like I said, oh, yeah, he said he was going to go shopping on a Sunday and maybe the gym if he had the energy. And I said, yep, I still have to unpack from a trip. And he's like, well, what trip were you on? I said, oh, Vegas. He said, oh, I like Vegas. You know, we kept that kind of banter going back and forth. Yeah. And sometimes I think it could go the other direction, too. And for like a sex positive show or somebody that is sex positive, sex is very important to me. I want to have sex with whomever I end up with. So I think it could actually go the other direction as well. So, and many of us gay men go in that direction. We start off on sex and then we realize, oh, I could also spend time with you as well. So maybe don't get too caught up in thinking that everyone is only looking to hook up. Some of the hookups could turn into something more. Don't belabor that, but also get on some of the other apps like the Bumbles, like Jacked. I don't know what that one's all about, but we just listed so many of them. And so try them all out. And yeah, I think that would be our advice. Okay, time for one more Reddit thread here. I like this one. Would you, speaking of dating, do you go to dates with multiple people in the same time period? I don't mean being a couple, but like just dating to see if a relationship would be possible. I have two guys who I meet with sporadically, but I feel like I'm cheating, even though I'm not with either one of them yet. So this is almost the opposite problem. This guy's going on a lot of dates. And I remember meeting up. I had these friends that I met up with dinner, and they had this single friend that joined the table. And they literally joined the table for, I think, 30 minutes, and then they had come from a date with a guy, and then they were off. They spent 30 minutes with us, and then they were running off to like another date. So in other words, in one night, they were going on a lot of dates. This guy sounds like maybe he's just dating a little more seriously two different guys. Cody, what are your thoughts? Is that a lot of juggling, or can you handle the circus?
I am not a juggler. I don't have the hand-eye coordination, honey. I can't do all of that. When I am dating somebody, I am kind of completely focused on them, but that's just me personally. I know other people can do it. And I think that, you know, do what works best for you. If you're out there putting yourself out there with multiple people, then go ahead and do that. I cannot juggle more than one date. If I had more than one date in a day, my brain would probably fry. I would probably call him the wrong name. I would call repeat facts about
Steve,
the other guy.
Instead of Mark. And
I know, right? It would just be too much for me. So I have to date
you
one
know
person
when I
at a time, unfortunately.
You know when I have problems with that is getting too many numbers in one night and having too many margaritas and forgetting who the fuck is this other person? I have one on my phone right now. And I'm like, I know I made out with this other guy. I think it was good. And he's like, and sometimes it's like, let's get together. That sounds fun. What you recommended. And I'm like, oh shoot. Like I need
what
to.
What the hell did I say?
What the hell? Yes, I know. So for me, it's more of a problem of when I meet guys and I'm out and about. I think when it rains, it pours. So unlike the last Reddit threader, I think he's trying to find somebody. I think if you're meeting a bunch of people and you're in those early stages, you should just go with it. I mean, there's 7 days in a week. You know, you still have time for yourself with two different guys and still have time with your friends, because you don't know, maybe a drought's coming up the road. Yeah. And you might as well take advantage of it now. Now, if one starts to show more interest or you start showing more interest towards one, then go in that direction and maybe fade one out. I don't know. Jeremy, what are your thoughts on, do you think this guy who has multiple people in the same time period, is it too much?
I don't think it's too much. I think he, like you said, should probably test the waters and try and hone in on what traits he likes about each one and then just get to know them a little bit better. But I think if you are good at juggling and you have the time and the energy to like put into both of them, it would be interesting to see where you can get. But obviously you don't want to get too invested with both of them and then be stuck.
Right.
So I think it would help to spend more time with each of them and then really try to find which one complements you better.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think you're right. Or you could do kind of, yeah, and that's back to me. Going back, like I spent like all this time with this guy, but then I knew this was going to be an issue, or I thought it was going to be an issue, because I was going to go on this trip, right? So my friend, she sort of mentioned it to me. She says, do you think you're killing the momentum by leaving now? And I'm like, I mean, I guess, but on the other hand, is I had these trips planned, and many of these trips are, one of them's helping my sister with something that's so monumental to her in a city that I love, Puerto Vallarta. Mm-hmm. Another one is a trip all for building my long-term friendship, the cruise, that I will continue to have for years. The last trip is all about what we do here, podcasting. It's advancing my career. So is it potentially? Maybe, but I'm married to myself, and I have to look, you know, these were not like frivolous trips that I planned overnight with, you know, let's just go to, you know, wherever. They were worthy life planning trips. So you can't base too much on that.
Yeah. And if he doesn't have the patience to wait for you, then he's not the right one, right?
Exactly. Good point. Yeah. Thanks for playing on back to me. lastly, I have to shout out to an actor. I put it in your feed there on our little recording device there. They call him Zaddy. Tuck Watkins. You might know Tuck Watkins. He was, if you came to New York, he was in The Boys in the Band, the reboot on not only Netflix, but also on stage. He was really good. He's currently and has been dating Andrew Rannells, who I love. And he's been in a few other things like The Other Two on HBO Max. Really good actor, gay actor, really doing his time. He recently posted in an Instagram post of himself 4 years before I got sober, and next to it, 4 years after I got sober. He wrote, if your drinking is making you uncomfortable, tell a sober person. Any sober person, that's what I did. I don't remember what I said to him that day, and I don't remember what he said to me, but I remember the way he made me feel. He made me feel like I was going to be okay. It was the last day I took a drink, October 28th, 2018. I got sober because alcohol was ruining my life. I stay sober because life got better. I think this is really brave of an out gay actor. He's 56. I don't know if you guys saw the pictures of before and after. But good for him, right? I think for those that might be crying out, I mean, what do you think, Cody?
I think this is great. I think that his journey has taken him to a place of sobriety. And if it was ruining his life, then he should probably cut it out. And I'm glad that he did. And he's living his best life right now. A little point of contention, though, the pictures that he posted in that post, the first one is a a phone selfie, and the second one is clearly a
headshot.
No, right? You can't compare the two. So, I mean, no shade. I'm happy for him. I'm glad he's living his best life and he's doing a damn thing. And he still looks hot to me in both pictures, honestly. But I'm glad that he's feeling much better.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy, it was 4 years between the pictures, and one person wrote that, okay, despite the fact that age, maybe he does look a little bit older in the right-hand side. Do you think this was the best way? I mean, this was his journey and his way of telling people. I think, you know, the one does look like a mugshot and the other one does look like a fresh headshot promoting a new movie. But regardless of how he chose to do it, Jeremy, do you admire at least what he did put out there?
Of course. I think that that's very admirable. And I think it takes balls. And I think, like Cody said, if it's not good for you, then cut it out.
Yeah, right. And absolutely. So congratulations, Tuck Watkins, and to your beautiful boyfriend, Andrew Reynolds, who I love, too. Check out his show, the band, The Boys in the Band. If you guys haven't seen that, you gotta, it's so good. I saw it on Broadway. Yeah, really, really good on Netflix as well. Okay. You can always, thank you for playing on all of that. You can always ask us for advice. You can DM us on our Instagram page at Tags Podcast, or for show notes, go to tagspodcast.com. You can email us via that as well as we get that. And you can follow my co-host, follow Jeremy on Instagram at J Ross Lopez. Follow Cody. He's a life coach at KMD Coaching. And on his personal account at Mr. Maurice. Thanks, guys. Always so much fun. Love talking to you guys.
Definitely.
Yeah. And in the meantime, continue having hot gay sex.